How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends, the podcast with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
And this week
is... Oh, it's very exciting.
It's very exciting, let me tell you.
I'm thrilled.
It is our Christmas special and really is a Christmas special.
I see what you've done. It's so clever.
You're welcome. Because we are joined by our dear like-minded friend, Mr. Chris Neal, everybody.
Oh,
Chris
yes. Neal. Nothing sadder than two people clapping.
Nothing sadder.
Like being in Edinburgh.
Now, Chris, you are a dear comrade of ours in the comedy world.
Yeah.
But also, you are a food writer. Is this correct?
Well, yeah, no, I have written about food, yeah.
Yes.
For things, yes. I wrote a thing recently about when I met my boyfriend and how, you know, I think food at the beginning of a relationship, how you negotiate.
Very much,
that sort
yeah.
of thing. So I wrote that.
Not McDonald's, that sort of thing.
What does he
well,
like?
Well, he would really like
really?
More McDonald's.
Oh, really?
And
but you're an excellent cook, because I've been to your
I'm
dinner.
A decent cook.
Have you, Susie?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. You
there was a space, we said that was... be where Tom would sit.
invited.
Oh, I bet you had a nice meal. I bet you had seconds as well, didn't you? Because I wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, I had a lovely time. Pasta dish. It was very nice.
Oh, I like pasta, yeah.
Do you remember that thing? Who was it? We almost got the... Oh, it was for Kerry Godleman, and she was having a kitchen done. We were doing a reboot sitcom.
She's doing well.
About casting you in, but then said no. And, but I said, well, look, I've got quite a big table. You'll see.
Show off.
And... So we did the read-through, didn't we? It was the sitcom, and I said, well, I'll cook a meal. And I always remember, didn't you come to this? I've got a cellar, and there was a baby belling. When I did a show in Edinburgh a few years ago, I had a baby belling.
Can
yes,
you
I remember
what
that.
What a baby belling is?
It's a little oven that students used to have, but they're quite expensive.
Yes.
And this was their top of the range, and I was sponsored by Baby Belling.
Oh.
I got
not Baby Bell. It's very...
No, it's called Baby Belling, and it's a belling oven, and it's a... Belling used to make ovens of various sizes, and now they only make the baby now. And so all it is called Baby Belling. No, there are no other belling ovens, as far as I know.
Oh, the nano of their ovens.
The nano belling. And they said, they gave me the oven to cook from on stage, but I had to always say, and it's the best oven in its price range.
Did you?
I've got it in the cellar, and it's an amazing oven, but I remember Kerry was having a
kitchen done.
And yeah. She thought, oh, could I borrow that? And you and me clambered down to the cellar, and it's like, weighs a bloody ton, this thing.
Oh.
And it was all behind boxes, behind the log store and all this kind of stuff. We were heaving it out, and then she went... We got it up to the top and she went, oh, I don't think I will, and just sort of walked out.
Oh, the fun you have. What did she want to use it for?
Well, but she
was having a kitchen done.
Oh, sorry. So were you... Because was that the one when you used to do deviled kidneys on stage?
Like
I remember, because I think it was in the next room to you.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, or near there. I remember seeing you. You obviously don't remember seeing me, Chris, but that's okay.
Well,
I used to talk to you about
it. Whenever I see your face, I just visualise an empty dining
room. Yeah,
once
quite
again,
right.
Empty chairs and empty tables.
Empty chairs and empty tables.
Favourite.
Oh, that song always comes up on this. Michael Ball.
Well, it's Les Mis. He didn't
write
it.
It's Les Mis, or as I call it, Gay Jizz.
Oh, that's really, really lowbrow.
The piano bar, and you see you're too young to remember, the piano bar next to Madame Jojo's in Soho, which closed down in the sort of mid to late 90s.
Oh, I wouldn't have been old enough to go in.
And I always remember the doorman was very handsome, and in it was a tiny little room, and it was used in a BBC drama once.
Oh.
And there'd always be theatre types and rent boys and old queens, and they'd all sing songs.
Oh.
Another six people.
Those are my three favourite types of people.
Tables.
Oh, I bet. Oh, is that the 11 o'clock song?
Yeah, it was more about sort of 2 in the morning.
Get everyone crying. Oh, I sort of wish there were more places like that where everybody got up and sung a song.
But we went to that place in Brighton, didn't we?
Oh, the Broadway. Have you been there?
Broadway
it used to be
Baby.
The 3 and Ton, and now it's called the Broadway,
Broadway Baby.
They only play
show tunes.
Song tunes.
Do they perform them?
No,
they just have them on videos. That's
on.
The world we live in, Chris.
Yeah,
just videos
ruined.
Now. I mean, I don't know
if
they're actually videos.
No mobile phones, no grind.
No, people had to sit, what,
people
stand and talk?
Sit and sort of stare at each other miserably without ignoring it.
What a world, what an uncivilized world that was. without being buried in the yellow glow of a grinder screen. And why did we come onto that? What are we talking about? Piano bars.
Baby bellings.
Baby bellings, working back. Empty Chairs and Empty Tables. Yeah.
Listen.
Sorry, Susie.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. No.
It's Christmas.
I hate that song so much. Do you know?
Yeah, you told me that before.
Just a jingle.
I do jingles for so many shows. It's really my thing.
What were you going to say, Susie? Sorry.
No, nothing. I was just saying it was Christmas because that was...
We are so excited.
I was bringing us back to topic, which is...
Christmas. And...
My role.
No, your role is so many things.
Oh, is it? Thank you, Tom.
At so, Christmas. Or just in here, in this tiny room.
In this tiny room, this freezing cold room. This room is so hot.
Oh, God. I've taken my top off. Yeah. I do have a vest on.
It's... Yes. Yeah. Thank you for reminding the listener of that. We're
Tom
not indecent.
Completely no.
The first thing you said when you came in here, Chris, you said it's like a sauna.
I only do it in the... As we walked in, we both handed two white towels. I said, don't ask for any more.
I mean, I see...
That's it for your night. The night, whatever you've had to do with them.
And I'm wearing a vest, but no drawers. No, it's really quite the look.
It's in the dark, they turn the lights on. They're covered in blood and shit.
I mean, it's assumed to be an audio recording booth, but actually, I think Chris is right. But Chris, what we wanted to talk to you about was Christmas food.
Oh, yes.
What will you have? Will you have a turkey?
No, I hate Christmas. It's one of my least... I mean,
I'm a little bit like that.
Least favourite days of the year, but actually
it's
Christmas
one of your least.
Is probably up there. Until 3 days ago, my Christmas choice... I was either going to sit at home on my own or I was going to peel carrots for some homeless people.
Did homeless people like carrots?
I think they need the vitamin D. And I mean, the hair curl. And
helps them see in the dark, I think. Isn't that what carrots do?
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they?
It's really handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see curls in the dark, best of all. And that's what I was... I really detest Christmas. Not in a kind of... I don't expect it to be marvellous. I know it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
And I find being at home... has its stresses with my family. And then I was going to go back to Ireland with my boyfriend, Rory.
Oh,
and then we never quite worked that out. And then I was invited... It was all slightly socially awkward. I was invited to one Christmas a couple of weeks ago, and then I never heard from this person. So, and then I got this other invitation. I thought, well, shall I say yes to that? I did. And then, of course, that night that I'd said yes...
Oh, the other one got back in touch.
But so I'm going to some friends, which is very, because I don't have a car anymore. So that was the only time of the year I always wish I had a car.
Right.
Because then you can always get away. And they're going to have to come and pick me up in the morning. And then they're going to France the next morning. So they said to me, oh, the thing is...
Don't stay late.
The awful thing is we've got to be on a flight at 5 o'clock in the morning at London City Airport.
So, London City, they're doing well. I would have said yes to their invitation.
Well, I know, it's quite funny. So I said, well, that's fine. I said, well, look, I normally stay over, and I never like staying anywhere.
No, like in bed.
So the thing is, would you mind if Paul drove you home about 8:30?
Oh
my God, this is getting better and better. 11, we have a meal, we play Monopoly, we have a small argument, you drive me home.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's like a great first date.
A lovely first date.
Yeah,
you're going to be picked
really,
up.
Really, really happy with that. If I was, I've never cooked for Christmas. I tend to cook when I'm at home, and my dad doesn't eat poultry.
Ooh.
My dad doesn't eat lots of things.
But you eat everything, don't you?
I eat everything.
You eat weird things, don't you?
I don't think they're weird.
What do you eat?
Sorry,
what does Chris eat?
Like the kidneys and...
Oh, devil kidneys.
Stuff. Yeah.
You like a bit of offal?
I love offal, yeah.
Awfully nice to see you.
Oh, God. Thank God I'm here to bring a bit of masculinity to the show.
Go for it. You're right, too.
There's some testosterone in the room, thank God.
Dick Emery in the corner.
Dick, we were just talking about Stanley Baxter. Anyway, so you don't like to cook for your family?
Well, so I do cook, but we always have beef, and then...
Oh, that's nice. What would you have? A rib? A fillet? What?
Well, we'd have a rib, but my dad would like it incinerated.
That's exactly what my dad and I...
My
come
dad's
to.
Like that.
Yeah, your parents are like mine as well. They like to have
everything so well done.
Yeah,
so well done.
And I don't, to be honest, there are joints of beef, and I also say this to my mother every year. There are joints of beef we could buy, and I don't mind this that deserve and need cooking very slowly, and they'd be delicious. But not a full rib of beef, which is very expensive. And
yeah, seems a bit of a waste, doesn't it?
It's terrible waste. So we also have a bit of an argument about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to someone, and they will cook beef, but I don't think it'd be overcooked. I have some friends around post Christmas, and I did a goose. But Christmas, the goose is reduced.
Oh, what a good idea!
Ever full of boys.
Yes, but you have to be. You have to be.
Plummets of Christ.
Oh, really? Got it for a song. I did. Got it for a song. Tuck in. What is a goose like? Because I always think, have you ever had a goose, Susie?
No, I haven't. Is it like chicken?
No. It's kind of...
Is it dark?
It's a bird. It's dark. It's quite, well, it's quite rich.
I'm sort of veggie, aren't I?
Oh, yes, I forgot that you're vegetarian.
Yes, we had dinner.
Well, except when there's bacon in front of you.
Yeah, that's the
really?
Trouble.
We went to a vegetarian Indian restaurant. I didn't know we were going, oh, where's the fucking goose?
No, I don't... I'm sort of veggie, but not at meal times. I sort of agree with it all, but I really love shoving a bit of bacon in my face occasionally.
Oh, of course, yeah. What are you going to have on Christmas?
I'll probably have a nut roast.
Oh, classic.
What, with family? Will you be with family?
Yeah, they won't have turkey. Too no. dry.
Oh, they don't like turkey. Oh, like they'll a capon.
Capon.
I don't know what that is.
Are they?
You couldn't get them here legally for years.
Oh, I always thought that was like
what's
an old fashioned
castrated cock.
Oh. Hello.
Castration causes it to sort of the
bloat.
Well, not to bloat, but for the female. What's the female? The hormone,
estrogen
to sort of balloon around the body.
Oh, so that's why.
Like,
oh,
Aunt Daisy and Elsie, they always used to have a lovely cape on at Christmas. You can't get them now. You can get them in places, but I think they've sort of brought in from more.
Because I saw on Food Network, Fanny Craddock was talking about them because they rerun delicious. A lot of Fanny Craddock. Oh, are they?
Oh, they're delicious. They're very good. They're slightly sort of gamier chicken. Goose is a sort of the thing about. A goose, but it's also, oh, a goose, you know, and sort of a Dickensian idea of like,
yes, yes, that's exactly what I think.
They serve about four people, there's nothing on a goose.
Right.
Really, I mean, it's delicious and it's expensive, but it doesn't serve many.
Okay,
so I think in a kind of Bob Cratchit world, we'll have, you know, half an ounce of dark meat between us, that'd be fine, but you couldn't.
But in our these meat eating, gluttonous times we live in,
there'll also be ham.
Nice,
yeah. Oh, do you like a bit of ham?
There'll be a gammon,
yeah.
Now, I'm interested in this. Do they have it hot or cold?
Cold.
See, mine insist on having it hot. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
But what, with the bird?
With the bird. Turkey and then...
Everything on the plates. Everything will be put out on plates and then choose.
Yeah.
But the ham will stay cold.
No, I would prefer that.
I think if with the roast, though, you want it sort of, maybe not ice cold, but it's sort of warmish to go with the other things. Although...
I suppose so, yeah.
I wouldn't... Thing is, as long as it all goes under hot gravy, that's as long as the gravy's hot,
and gravy's taste, I'm very into gravy.
It's Christmas dinner to be nice. That's not the point of it.
It's always such a thing.
It's like a ruined roast.
It's like a ruined roast, isn't it? Like, why can't we just relax and enjoy it?
You could just have a nice roast, but you can't. You have to have a big roast with tons of things.
Yeah,
I don't think you want more than three or four things on a plate. But Christmas,
yeah, I always think that. Like, why always have to have so many things on the plate? Mm. I get so depressed about that.
It's never as bad as an American
depressed.
Thanksgiving.
Have you had an American Thanksgiving?
Well, once, and it was all right because it was slightly anglicised, but I did...
Because you were there.
No, I didn't do the cooking, but another Englishman did, another English homosexual did. And so it was all right. But when I follow various of American food websites, until Thanksgiving, they'll talk, oh my God, you're getting ready for the big day, and all this hideous stuff. Have you prepared your pumpkin sprout and marshmallow surprise yet? My surprise is we shot... really awful looking things. And is it a pumpkin, which I quite like roast, but I think anything, I don't even like pumpkin soup. And pumpkin pie is an atrociously revolting thing to eat.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if I've ever had it. Have you had it?
Sweet and claggy and, oh, it's awful.
Yeah, it's not very nice at all. Agreed.
So what would you, because I get stressed about the laying of the table in at Christmas. That's often my job.
How many of you are there for Christmas?
I think it's actually only four of us this year. Just the fair.
How so, will you cope?
I start on the 23rd.
So obviously I will have considered many designs at this stage. And and then, yes, I will go into full theatrical operation around about the 20th. No, I like a nice, crisp, white tablecloth.
Very good. And
then I like white linen, but I think white linen throughout, but I think everybody else likes sort of a bit of colour.
Hello, Nigel Slater.
And well,
he comes
Chris,
up in every podcast.
He comes up in every
white
podcast.
On
he would have white on everything.
When you see pictures of his house.
Yes. Which I have done, by the way.
It's all white, isn't it? It's all white. And
but I've seen on his Christmas table, it's usually the bare wood with very, very simple, very pared down.
Very
pared down with just maybe a white. A damask lap napkin, just folded simply, and then some strands, and then everybody had three oysters on each sitting, and I think that's what he has.
Portion of misery for me.
What do you
see,
think?
My...
Well,
I don't know. I can't. I think he does that thing, but it has to be very simple. And I think part of the Chris, I quite like coloured lights on a tree. You see, all this stuff, everything, all sort of.
We've got coloured lights on a tree. Careful.
I was saying this to my dad. I like a coloured light on a tree now.
See, our house looks very. No, we're not. I'm not from a rich family, as you well know, Tom. But I would say that
our flat. Or this is your family house.
Well, this is both.
Right.
Currently, we have coloured lights on the flat in the tree at the flat
very
at home.
Very on trend.
But at Mum and Dad's,
mm-hmm.
It's a gold Christmas tree. And nothing says new money quite like that.
When did they buy it?
Oh, about 3 years ago. Oh, I like this one. And
gold.
We've got loads of Santas that are sort of the size of a small toddler. Sort of that. And my cousin Brody, who's like three, will spend the whole of the day being either petrified or playing.
Yeah,
them.
I'm not surprised.
You've got a three-year-old cousin.
It's my cousin's son.
Oh, that's disappointing. I thought it was far more intriguing. Like,
no, like, no, it's not.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Some families are like spread out like that, aren't they?
No, no.
The gold tree. Oh, that's that. I would like that though. In for a penny, in for a pound.
And we'll have the Christmas. You're talking about your white linen and your bare wood.
Nobody else
this
in this my
podcast.
Family worries about this podcast. Very much.
Every house in Bromley's like that.
Yeah, I know. We'll have sort of maybe Marks and Spencer's tablecloth that will be like the kind that's
the Christmas special one.
The Christmas special one. They'll have like a penguin on or a reindeer.
Head.
Yeah, or a reindeer.
What do we think?
The thing about white linen, it's happy, but unless you can take it to a proper cleaner's. Very hard.
It's very hard. That's
bedding.
Why Mum doesn't
really
like it.
Wash.
What does it? I've walked around Marks and
Spencer. Your white bedding gets.
No.
Tight white bedding. Well, listen, there's red wine, there's gravy, there's all manager. Nightmare. Oh my God, where did that stain go? The streets.
It's
You're
ruined.
Horrible. I have a cat. There's often little paw prints on it. That's
Oh, that's what it is.
But now, I've had red wine in bed before, though.
It's like you were saying about having a drink in the bath. You do that.
I like to feel that I'm like, you know, like the main character in Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
Sort of that sort of tragic sort of New York, like drinking in the bath, drinking
in
bed.
Oh, yeah, she would be drinking. Norma Desmond.
A turban.
But you like to do an archway.
I do an archway, yeah.
Very similar to Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, so similar to Sunset Boulevard.
So, Christmas lunch. Now, that's what I was going to say. What do we think about? I was talking to Marks and Spencer's, and they've got a lot of like people who put bed linen themed around Christmas. Like this Christmas bed linen, plates you can buy themed around Christmas. Who's buying this? You can use it once a year. Susie, you've got it.
I think the ruffles.
The ruffles.
Do the ruffles?
No. I think we have some Christmas crates.
The thing about Christmas themed bed linen is the amount of filth you get on your bed.
Yeah.
Guys.
A snowflake batten.
My cat's feet.
Whatever you want to call it.
What do you have, Susie? What do you have? Tell us.
I've got some brush cotton.
Oh, that's nice.
Like Winsier.
Yeah, it keeps you warm, and it's got reindeers on it.
Oh.
It's only in grey and black. It's only in grey and white.
Oh, that's nice. Where'd you get that?
Yeah. I don't know. Mum got it for us. It's probably BHS.
Oh, BHS. Once British Home Stores don't like to be called British Home Stores anymore.
They're not.
Well, maybe they've gone back now, but
it's
BHS.
It's a perfect cut through to John Lewis there.
It's perfect cut through. What do they sell BHS?
It's a poor man's John Lewis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
But not even a poor man, like a man that's doing all right.
Oh, really?
Fine, but not a
man's John Lewis.
A different man.
It's a man with money, though, sometimes, yeah.
Oh, really? I should go around there.
Slippers, bed linens, towels.
Oh, towels, I never go. I never go in there.
This, though, it's sort of a slight.
Yeah.
In our sort of streamlined era of just sort of thing.
I didn't quite know where it fits in.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it would go the same way as Littlewoods.
Yes.
Oh, Littlewoods.
Yes, that's what I sort of think. Now just a catalogue with Mylene Class.
Is it still a catalogue, even?
Yeah, Mylene Class advertises it.
And you don't have to say to... Oh, Miley. No, it's still a shop. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, no, your face...
Is this a website?
I mean, maybe catalogue, but...
I'm amazed that, like, Game Workshop and Game
still go strong. People
but
love
Woolies,
all that. Woolies went.
Gone.
But then you've got the 99p store, which I think filled that void, didn't it, for Woolworths?
All of them, more than, yeah.
And what do you think about the Robert Dias advert? Have you seen that?
That is weird.
I think, but apparently it's a spoof of an American advert for something.
I've not
what,
seen
no
it.
British people have ever seen. So the
yes,
it's
sort
yes,
of
so
odd.
I watched a bit of it and I sort of went, oh no.
I don't, I can understand. I didn't.
I'm gay
I didn't,
and I like a minion. I'm bisexual. I like a spiralizer.
I sort of found it was funny in its sort of ridiculousness.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it persuaded.
And I fancied the later gay who had the beard, the blonde one.
Blonde with the beard, yeah.
Yeah, I really fancied him.
Yeah, he was good.
That's what the podcast is about.
That's who I fancy on adverts.
Yeah, that's not the show.
So.
It's not called it on
Mez.
Well, you know, you've got to have some Christmas cheer.
Someone,
if he's listening.
He could be listening.
I mean, I'd love someone from Robert Dias.
Oh, of course you would.
Oh, a staff discount on Robert Dias. I'm anybody's.
A proper man. A proper manly man who could put up a shelf. Oh, Tom, you'd be in your element.
We'd be putting up shelves all the time.
That manly in Robert Dias.
Are they not?
Are they not? You'd get your baby belling in there, probably, would you?
It's the sort of thing you would prefer. But the thing is, you don't need a... There's always such an offer. You don't need a staff discount in a
Robert Downey. I don't think I have one near me.
You could get some garden lights. They do that sort of
thing. Like Wilko's. Really.
Yeah, I how mean, they go. Well, apparently the gay market is...
The gays go in there all the time.
And the spiralizers, that's who they've got in
this mind. Drill would be great for a straight person or for a gay person.
Yeah. And it's modelled here by this lesbian.
They must be actors, though, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. They all seem pretty awkward.
Yeah, but that's a skill.
Yeah, tell
it's
me about
like
it.
Archers.
I've got it.
They always have a Christmas show in the Archers, so it's really awkward for the actors in the
Archers. Oh, to be actors, yeah, with Linda Snell.
Badly.
Yeah.
So they all do their own real characters and then have to be...
Hammy.
Yeah.
Hammy versions.
Calendar Girls this year.
Oh, yes.
And it's weird. I've seen Calendar Girls, but I don't remember anything about it apart from they took the clothes off and there was a calendar. But it's that weird thing that you...
And we are doing a calendar, actually, of what's happening in the studio right now. So if anyone's interested...
It's for 2017. We're getting it ready now because I imagine it's going to be a pretty hot seller.
I'm carrying myself with a ballpoint. room to spare. But yeah, they all know the plot. So once someone goes, "Oh, I'm playing Maisie," and they go, oh, "No," and I was thinking, no one would know what goes on in Calendar Girls and who's who.
Yeah.
But they have to play the characters quite badly, and I think that's quite a skill. So I was wondering if it's the same with the Robert Dias thing.
Oh, maybe. I mean. Probably so it could be the same actors, we don't know.
You did one in Spotlight. You want
to be that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's what I want to
do. I wouldn't.
No, don't do that.
The Wood in Spotlight.
Don't do that.
Which is the directory, of course. Of
oh, yes, for our listeners in...
Non-performer world.
Non-UK. Or the Sivers.
Find people for sex not in actors' directory.
So, what I was going to say is... Yeah. So, Chris, what will you be having... What would be your dream Christmas meal?
Well... I think probably beef, because I quite like turkey, but it's a bind to cook, and I don't really...
It's a bind, isn't it?
An enormous oven, how people can really cope with the turkey.
Yes.
And with all the other things you want. So I think beef, because we very rarely eat beef, because it's quite expensive and quite a treat, so a good joy to be like a four rib.
Oh, yes.
And...
Oh, that would be lovely. What potatoes? Roast potatoes?
Roast potatoes. Mm-hmm. Roast potatoes, and then I think two veg, but you don't need more than that.
What would you put with the beef?
What would I put with it?
What vegetables would you have with the beef?
Oh, I see. Well, I think you want roast parsnips with beef.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't you? And then I think some sort of braised creamed cabbage dip.
Oh, yes. Savoy cabbage.
A Savoy cabbage.
Mm.
Very slowly in sort of butter and stock.
That would be nice.
Maybe something slightly...
Oh, how lovely.
Like some leeks or something.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And a Yorkshire pudding. Beef, do you want a Yorkshire
pudding? Oh, a Yorkshire pudding. I love a Yorkshire pudding.
I remember years ago when my mum still sort of did Christmas lunch, but we never had poultry, as I say, but she'd go, "We'll have beef, but it's Christmas, so you've got to have sprouts and you've got sausages wrapped in bacon."
Of course.
What do you want sausages wrapped in bacon with a joint of beef?
All of that stuff is quite sort of arbitrary, isn't it? It's like, it's sausages wrapped in bacon, that's Christmas.
Yeah,
I don't quite know.
I've done that with a bit of poultry.
Yes.
That with a joint of, or even a joint of pork. I love pork.
Yeah, I like a roast pork. Yeah. What will you have, Susie?
Well, I might have some sort of... It might be a nut roast, or it might be some sort of like... Mum might have found something in Mark's that's puff pastry...
Nut roast.
Puff pastry, mushroom and chestnut.
Oh, lovely.
Like a Christmassy
but
type
if you're
thing.
You're liable to the occasional bit of bacon.
Oh, yeah.
On Christmas Day, what will they have? Will they have turkey?
No, it'd be chicken, ham and beef.
You could have a bit of chicken,
couldn't you? I might. It depends on the mood I'm in. But it's, to be honest...
I think chicken is the vegetable of the farmyard.
I think it is. I think you're very right there. I think that's actually... I think that's what Petter say. These are the protection animals.
Actually, there was a very interesting thing the other day about the man who... Did he hit on radio? But raised of chickens, because he was a philosopher, and he'd worked out that you get not much meat per life for a chicken. You know, you kill an ox and you get lots of meat from an ox.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You kill a chicken, you get
one meal. Yeah.
And so he became a great sort of saviour of chickens and was always hoarding them to stop them being killed, because he thought, well, you don't get much for your life.
Oh, what a lovely...
We'd like to dedicate this show to that man.
The chickens, he said.
Talk about Radio 4. Did you hear... There must have been a thing about chemsex on Radio 4 a few months ago.
What's chemsex?
Well, exactly. I don't know, but I think it's something gays do, like where
gay men
take drugs and then have sex.
Doing one of those... You know those very expensive Guardian masterclasses?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they don't make any other money, the Guardian. And so they kind of go, well, I know we don't send any papers anymore because we've given it away for free, so why not spend £6,000...
Oh, my God.
three sessions learning how to write cookery books.
Oh.
He's doing one of those very expensive ones. And there's someone there who's finally come out of the closet. And he's writing his book about having lots of chem sex.
Because I didn't know what it was. I was travelling back from a gig in Lincoln. The man had given me...
sort of sexing with chemicals.
I think that's where the word comes from. Toilet duck. And I think...
I like it.
You're very OCD, very anal, you might say. But I was travelling in the car back to... through Lincolnshire, getting a lift back through Lincolnshire. And this man turned to me and said, well, Tom, what do you think about chemsex? Just because he'd heard something on... It's become very much in the common parlance.
I am learning about this. Once again,
I didn't know about... He knew more about it than I did.
Weekends are lost to it.
Weekends are lost to it. Things.
Tom, you're young. You know these things.
No, I don't. I'm not part of that scene, I'm afraid.
No, you go out with me.
We go out together. Maybe have a kebab on the way home, as we did once. You know,
it's not very chem sexy, is it?
Not hardly any chem sex at all, as far as I can remember.
No,
very little. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I had a friend of mine. I was having a colonoscopy.
Call it what you like.
How to spend a weekend.
They said, what are you doing this weekend? I said, well, it's either chem sex or a colonoscopy.
In for a penny.
Well, so a friend of mine, Anthony, was meant to... The annoying thing, I don't know if you've ever had a colonoscopy. But
not yet.
You're
saving up for
it. I've had
one. Oh, have you, Susie? Yeah. Why haven't we talked about that before?
Then I don't know why, but you're full of wind.
Well, after...
You are full of wind.
Oh, really?
The first one I had. I mean,
how many of you had?
No,
I've just had the one.
Have you had the one? Were you full of wind?
No.
No,
Susie wouldn't be.
When did you have it?
About 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, I think they've...
What did you have there? You had a bellow put up there.
In fact, they were
Dynarod.
And they said, oh, you can watch the screen, but you can. You've got the screen and you see the tube and it all goes through.
Oh, it's
and they were behind, and the doctor said to the nurse, he said, are you going to Andrew's barbecue on Saturday? And they were talking about what they were going to take. She was going to take some sausages and some burgers. His daughter's gone vegetarian, so he was just taking sweet corn. But I remember at the end of it, you're wheeled back into the little ward. And I was like blown up like a balloon. And the nurse said, you will have a very big fart. And it did kind of happen. Nobody bats an eyelid, but that's kind of the point of the place. And then she said, it's
what a place.
Now. I said, you can go.
Well, I think so you just had.
I'm feeling very kind of, you feel a bit sort of vulnerable.
Like you've been violated. Mm.
Yeah, you want someone to look out. Yeah, you want someone to take you out for dinner.
Well, you don't want dinner, but you do. I got on the bus and I was like, sweaty. It was like as hot as I felt in here, but I kind of...
Would they actually use this room for colonoscopies? That's what we call our podcast.
Yeah, that's how they pay for it. I know it already be thinking about advertising.
You've got to make a living.
But it was all wind. But the next time, so I was slightly dreading it. And but the next time they said, "Well, you've got to have." I was allowed to go home on my own the first time. They said, "You've got to have someone take you home." So I'd arranged my friend Andrew. Rory was on tour at the time and he'd just gone off to Ipswich and he was gutted to miss it.
But, of course.
So my friend Anthony said, well, I'll come. Anyway, I went into the room. I was all bled. I had a good fart. And I went into the room and I saw Anthony and I thought, oh, my God, what's the matter with you? He had eyes like saucers. They were enormous.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, oh, thanks for coming. He went, And I said, yeah, I left the car in Sainsbury's. We've got to walk out and go to Sainsbury's. Anyway, so we went to Sainsbury's and I was sort of all right. I said, yeah, fine. Anyway, it turned out he'd been up all night with this gay couple he'd met on Grindr.
Oh, my goodness.
Having the chem sex. They were both teachers.
Well, clearly.
Night, had like half an hour's sleep, and in the morning they'd go, oh, look, we've got to get going to work. Andy, eyes like saucers. Oh, yeah, I've got to go pick my friend Chris up from having wind pumped into his backpack. We got home, and of course, I'm meant to be looked after. He's driven over to look after me. Sort of, and I said, you need to go to the clap clinic. So we get on the bus, we go into town, unlock off my face, and I remember taking him into the clap clinic. I said, you've got to go and have what you need doing, you know.
You're fast.
Yeah, I'm meant to be looked after. It's me taking him to the sodding clap clinic. So I'm going in there. And I walk off, and there were loads. I said, you know that awful, I had the wrong glasses on. I'd worn glasses outside. I couldn't see anything. And outside the French house, I could see the clap.
Oh,
clinic.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Oh, is there a clap clinic there?
Oh, shut up. Of course you know. So I suddenly hear this voice, Chris! And I thought,
who's it going to be?
And you know you look such a dick. I had the wrong glasses.
Oh.
I should have had my feet up instead of taking in front of the clap clinic. It's like, Chris! Slightly drunk voice. And I sort of edge over Dean Street, and I could sit outside the French house. People all standing. It was a sort of spring day, and it was a bloke I knew, and we'd worked together years before. And I was just like off my face. And he was with, and he'd been drinking and he was very drunk and he was with two friends. We started chatting and he was being very nice about me to his two friends. So he said, "How are you?" And I said, sort of full of wind. and just sort of walked off and bought a printer. I didn't even need a printer. I'll buy myself a printer. As a treat. You see, we'll get a printer.
Was it laser?
I don't know what it is.
Black and white?
It's fine. It kind
of still got it.
Like the other one.
Well, there's the difference between... That's what happens when you take drugs in the hospital and when your friend takes drugs.
Yeah.
That's the difference by a printer.
He had to be... Yeah, he had to be pumped full of every...
Oh, goodness.
...body known to man.
And you...
And I was buying printers.
Buying printers.
Happy Christmas,
listeners.
Oh, isn't that nice?
On that, I mean, Susie, did you have anything to add about Christmas?
Christmas and chemsex. No, like, don't do them at the same time.
Well, Boxing Day.
It's
a very empty day.
It's a very empty day.
It can be a very lonely day.
The worst time.
People who are alone. That's what I always worry about.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's
chemsex. That'll make it better.
I never see that on Help the Aged posters.
Yeah. Oh, Dave was on his own last Christmas, but this year he's having chemsex.
On his own, so it's kind of a chem wang. Oh,
chemsex
thing.
Oh. God. It's got dirty this week, but I've loved it.
Sorry. That's what a lot of people say.
About chemsex, yeah.
But Susie, is there anything you wanted to say about Christmas?
No, Tom, is there anything you'd like to say about Christmas?
No, I think just don't put yourself under any pressure.
Very good of you, Tom.
Very
good of you. I've just remembered there's something that we're allowed to announce in this podcast.
Oh?
Are you having a baby?
We're having a baby together. We're going on tour.
Oh, yes, we are allowed
we're
to announce that.
We're going on tour together. Oh, not until the autumn, and there's only 10 dates, but we'll be tweeting about them if you follow us on Twitter, and that we're doing Birmingham and Nottingham and a couple of dates in Wales.
Portsmouth.
And a date near London, maybe.
Manchester, we're doing.
Manchester. Yeah. It's only about 10 dates, but if you enjoy the podcast,
maybe come along, see us.
Not until the autumn, guys. I'm just letting you know long in advance.
Maybe a lovely Christmas present
to
somebody who's got a very busy first 9 months of the year.
Maybe, you know, they're busy doing chemsex the first 9 months. Maybe they want something a little bit more low-key.
And then they can have the baby.
Oh, it's perfect. If you want a first job for your babysitter, this could be it. This could be it.
Guys, what a lovely time we've had.
What a lovely time. We wish you all the merriest of Christmases.
And join us next week when we'll be talking about Betwixtmas.
The velvet days of Betwixtmas.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Oh, Chris.
And thank you very much to our wonderful guest.
A wonderful, dear, dear, like-minded friend, Chris Neal.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Hilarious. Thank you very much
And we look forward to seeing you soon.
I hope so. On tour, I'll be in the front row.
Oh, Chris, we'd love that.
Love that.
We'd love that.
You now have to come to every one of the shows, all the 10 dates.
but until then, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Thanks for listening and...
Goodbye.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.